Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
You're listening to a podcast right now. Driving, working out, walking the dog. If you're into podcasts, chances are you have something to say too. With RSS.com, starting your own podcast is free and easy. Upload an episode and we distribute it to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and more. Track your listeners, see where they're from, and start earning from ads just like this. If you've been thinking about starting a podcast, this is your sign. Start your new podcast for free today at RSS.com.
Let's go on an adventure, bop, bop, shoo, bop, 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 yeah. Let's go on it together.
What's up, everyone? Thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Musical Chairs of Massachusetts. As always, we are coming at you from the chair city of Gardner, Mass. Here we feature and we spotlight local musicians of all genres from all over New England. And I'm also joined here today by my pal, Chris.
Oh, and you're my pal as well.
Aw.
Yeah. Yeah, thanks, guys. I appreciate you tuning in on this another new episode of the Musical Chairs. And, here we just have so much going on. Nikki, I don't know where you keep finding these guests. Yeah, they're just...
I actually found this guest at the first annual Ramblin' Roads Country Fest.
Oh, right.
That was a few months back.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, which there is going to be a round two of this year.
Right, I know. There's so many awesome things that are happening. You know, we're closing out the winter season. I know some people are going to be sad about that, but, you know, screw those people.
Not me.
No, right? but we're about to welcome in the warmer weather with spring and summer, and we just have so many awesome musical events lined up, coming up. But yeah, we have one happening in my hometown of Winchin in there, Montapalooza.
Yeah, that's May 30th, Montapalooza, and we have a lot of friends of the show that'll be on there. Seth Newton, the Maladaptive, Kilroy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, Ramblin' Roads Country Fest.
Yeah.
Festival, that's happening. And that's in a new location this year.
That's going to be up in Vermont.
Yeah.
October 3rd.
Yeah.
So it was such a great time last year. It was just for being the first, time doing it. It went off without a hitch, and everybody just had a great time. So,
yeah.
Looking forward to that one again.
Yep. And Shaylee's mom has organized that, and she's done such a terrific job.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Terrific job. And then you got a full calendar coming up this. New season, huh?
Yeah, to say the very least.
Right.
Let's see what's going on in Nikki's world. Heading back down to Texas.
Nice.
Yeah. I actually leave in like 5 days for that.
Wow.
I get to go see my husband, Zach Bryan, in San Antonio.
Does he know that you're married?
Actually, he's technically married now.
Legalities.
Legalities, yeah. So actually, today's guest will be joining me for that. We'll be heading down there and seeing Zach Bryan,
nice.
Which is just a favorite of, both of ours.
Sweet.
And what else got going on? Gonna go see the Turnpike Troubadours again. I got that coming up.
Nice.
Gonna be going to see Hardy again for like the fourth time.
Awesome.
What else? Friends of the show Over the Bridge are opening up for one of my all-time favorite bands, the Elevators.
Oh, it's so exciting.
Come on our show.
Please.
Please. and that's the dream guest, the Elevators, for sure. And they're from the South Shore, so.
I know. I know your normal Elevators have their ups and downs, but these guys...
They just keep going up and up and up.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. They're actually... they throw a festival every year, Levitate. That's fitting, yeah. Huh? Elevating, levitating.
Here we go.
Which is literally the day after OTV and them. So that's 2 days in Marshfield.
And that's Alanis Morissette. I think it's headed on one of those days.
Alanis Morissette, yeah, the Elevators, Pepper. There's
so many,
many good ones.
Yeah.
What else do I got going on? Mumford and Sons. I'm so excited for Mumford and Sons.
I love Mumford and Sons. And like I loved them, you know, when they had the banjo. I loved them at post banjo. Everything. I love their whole catalog.
Have you ever seen their documentary where they're literally like hopping on like boxcar trains and like that's like traveling and doing like the so good. I forgot the name of it. But yeah, there's a really great documentary on them.
Oh, I'm gonna check it out.
Yeah. Okay. And then, you know, the best for last.
Yeah.
I'm going on a cruise.
Okay.
I'll be sailing away with Sublime.
Oh. Okay. Listen. If we could do like 1 weekend, you know, Elevators, the next weekend Sublime. I'm just throwing it out there. I'm throwing that up into the manifestation station.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, the Elevators will be on that cruise ship as well. So
you can have multiple.
I have so many opportunities to try to at least meet one of them and, you know, whisper a little something.
Yeah. Oh, that's so terrific.
Yeah. So and I'm sure there'll be other things sprinkled in between. All of this, but this is like the big stuff that I actually have on my calendar right now.
Nice.
Yeah. So, yeah. Well, if you're out and about.
Yeah.
Catch me if you can. Come find me. Let's party.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
And like I said, you know, before, like it's the warmer weather. You know, I mean, I think warmer weather goes terrific with like reggae rock and that vibe. But, you know, speaking of vibe, our guest today. It was just what a terrific, you know, young kid. He's doing so well. His music is just fantastic. And, you know, we had some great conversations. We talked about, you know, learning how to play music through covers. And we talked about, you know, Radiohead's Creep and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And then what happened? We had some in-studio
magic.
Yeah.
Literal magic. It was incredible. So after we were done recording his episode, Chris hopped on his keyboard over here and started tickling the ivies. And David picked up the guitar and, you know, me and him started harmonizing and singing together, and it was the most beautiful cover of Creep by Radiohead. And, you know, there are 6 damn cameras, professional cameras, and we are all able-bodied adults with cell phones.
Yeah.
And not a single minute of that was captured, and it's a damn shame.
Yeah, nothing.
So at the very least, please just come back into the studio so we can do this again.
Yeah, we have to recreate that somehow. And for more than just 3 sets of eyes, you know, and ears.
Oh, yeah.
You know, just, yeah.
Yeah, no, we did everyone and ourselves a disservice by not a single person picking up a phone. Hitting record on one of these cameras.
That's right. But that's okay. You know, and that's why I'm just so grateful and thankful for our show. You know, I know it's a lot of work for the both of us. I know it's a lot of investment, but it's such a honor to be able to, you know, have these guests come in, shine a spotlight on their craft, what they're doing, and just to be able to really share our love for music and the music world. It's such a dream come true, right?
Yeah, for sure. I'm like, we're so lucky and fortunate to have all these opportunities and all these amazing people in our lives.
Yeah, I agree. So, well, without any more delay, I think it's now going to be the perfect time to introduce our next guest. Guys, you're going to love him. He's a great stand-up guy. Again, music is amazing, so... Nikki, why don't you go ahead and introduce our next guest?
Let's get into it.
Hey, it's Cole Swindell. After I give everything I've got to land a perfect vocal, I usually take 5 before jumping into the next track. And I've learned exactly how to recharge in that time. Some folks grab coffee. I hit a quick good luck spin. Next thing you know, the break is just as fun as laying down the track. A better break makes for a better take. Need a break? Let's chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNCs apply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Today we are joined by David Keith. Hailing from central Massachusetts, David is a rising voice in the local Americana scene. Since 2022, David has been captivating audiences with a sound that fuses country soul, folk storytelling, and straight-up rock energy. Whether he's flying solo with a guitar or commanding the stage with his four-piece backing band, The Coalition, David doesn't just perform, he ignites the room. Charismatic, dynamic, and completely locked in, he's built a reputation as a must-see live act who leaves it all on the stage, every performance with his originals and covers. Welcome to the show, David.
Thank you so much for having me, guys. I'm really happy to be here. I'm psyched.
Yeah. We're so happy that you came down, and we've been hanging out for a while. We've been just having a lot of laughs, talking about very civil things.
totally appropriate things.
Of course.
All appropriate.
It's been a long time coming, having you here on the show. I mean, we met at the Ramblin' Roads Country Fest. Shout out to Shaylee and Amanda and everyone that does that. That's when we got you on here. So it's been a long time coming.
Yeah,
it really has. That was a great time. I'm really happy. And I submitted a request to be in the Ramblin' Roads next year. So we'll see how that goes.
Oh,
very cool.
A submission.
That'll be up in Vermont this
year.
Yeah,
I know. So it's a bit of a drive. It sounds cool. It seems like they're up in their game this year, too, which is really cool. Mm. Like, you know.
Bigger
venue.
Last year was kind of the trial run, it seems like, you know, and it went well. Hopefully I could be a part of it. That was really awesome. It was great to be around all these songwriters, and I got to meet Jordan Gladue, who is awesome.
We love Jordan.
A bunch of people, yeah. Yep. Abby, Miss Abigail.
Yep.
It was a great time getting to share the stage with these incredible performers.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It was such a fun night. Like, you know, that's when I wore my very first cowboy hat.
And you looked good too, dude.
And
I
the
was
bolo tie.
The whole time.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Wow.
Yeah,
he was cowboyed out.
Yeah, he was ranch dressing over there.
I was dressed up like a skater that day. I think I had my Vans on and whatnot.
You did, because at one point I said, hey, look, I think I have the same shoes as you.
Yeah, I don't dress up like your typical country guy a lot of the times.
And that's okay, you know. But we definitely had so much fun just to being a part of that. And we're like, dude, you gotta come on the show. And now you're here, man. So.
And I said, hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
Let's do it. Hell yeah, brother.
So I'll go ahead and just start the questions off. When did you get into music? What inspired you to get into music?
Okay. That's kind of a loaded question. So,
it
I
is.
Mean, luckily it's about me, right? So,
hey, it's your show. We're just here for it. Yeah.
So I mean, music was such an integral part of my life, my whole life, as long as I can remember, like most people, you know, just on a kind of on the level of, you know, I like music. It helps me get through things. So I feel like I have to mention this because, like, to give it some context, but I have like a really rough past, not to get like too in detail, but just, you know, addiction, mental health stuff. And I really got myself in a bind more times than I'm, you know, proud, happy to admit, but it's what kind of got me into the whole thing. So I was just prefacing that. So I really got into music actually during COVID. I started playing guitar. That's when I first picked up a guitar.
Okay.
Sorry, my phone just fell on the floor. Uh-oh. That's when I first picked up a guitar. And it was just this, I couldn't stop, just this full blown obsession. I mean, Marty Music on YouTube, like all these people, you know, on YouTube to help you out. I just got obsessed. You know, I was newly sober.
Nice.
You know, I had just gotten in some trouble and I was like, all right, I gotta stop this. When I fully dove into it, you know, I had started playing guitar in high school, learned the basic stuff, like I was saying, and just loved it. And I was like, oh, I'm going to be a musician, but I was still, you know, drunk and being an idiot. So eventually I, got my head out of my ass and really just put everything into the music. And that's what I've been doing ever since. I've been sober about 5 years.
Oh, that's awesome.
Crazy since I was 18 or 19. I can't. See, yeah, 19, I think.
Basically traded one vice for another.
Exactly. I'm sorry if that story was a little all over the place, because no. I was like, oh, I learned playing guitar, then I got some, whatever, but yeah.
No, I'm so glad that you you traded in the bottle for the guitar, because the music you're making, man, is just fantastic.
Oh, you know, thank you so much, man.
Yeah.
It's great to see it pay off a little bit, because, you know, like I said, I just went through a whole lot to get to this point, and I'm still trying to pull myself out of this, like, this hole that I put myself in over the years, and, you know, it just feels really good to be, like, a functioning member of society, you know? It's a thing you can take for granted if you are one your whole life, but,
And you're still so young, too, that, you know, like, this is, you know, you're pulling yourself out at a young age, and you got, you know, you're now you can just hit the ground running.
Mm-hmm. So, I know I got a little off topic, but to answer that question a little more straight up, some people would just be like, yeah, this is when I started playing music. So I picked up a guitar. I actually did some math the other day, and I was shocked, because I thought I'd been doing this a little longer, but I picked up a guitar in 2020, because that's when COVID hit. So I played for a few years, like I said, and then after high school, almost right after high school, that's when I finally put the booze down and
nice.
Just, not even on purpose, just kind of gravitated towards the guitar, and I could not put it down. And I wrote hundreds of, you know, shitty songs, horrible, and it took a lot to get to that point where I'm like, oh, these are something that I can use. And I just keep working at it every single day, like I said before, so... It's a blessing.
Yeah, for sure. I know so many hardships were occurred during the COVID period, but a lot of good things actually ended up coming out of it too. You know.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. You know, I mean, you picked up the guitar, and you know.
Now I got one on my arm. We got phone came.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, you see that? I got a harmonica. Too. I forgot where it was, and an old school mic there.
And
a vinyl record dripping down my elbow. You can't forget
that's amazing. I feel
shout out Sean Gallant.
I feel like we Nikki, I feel like we need to get that. Well, you already have tattoos.
Yes, but maybe I've got maybe one or two. Yeah.
I need to get all music instruments all over my
yeah, and, you know, it's funny too, like how you said, you're like, no, I just, you know, I was doing the math, and I feel like that whole COVID time, like, is just such a blur anyways. Like, 2020, it's 2026. It doesn't even feel like 6 years ago. So I can see why you're like, wow, the math wasn't mathing for a little bit when I sat down.
Yeah, COVID was weird because, I mean, first of all, like I said, I was in high school. So half of my high school was COVID because it hit, like, my junior year, you know.
Yeah.
So
you're doing, like, that hybrid remote thing.
I did freshman, sophomore year, and I'm like, oh, this is high school. And then it just got flipped over, you know, everything's different.
Yeah.
And I was already a bad student, and that just totally just, I'm like, yeah, mom, I'm in class, you know, hitting the bong or sleeping, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever. So it was just very bad for me, and I'm lucky I was able to graduate high school. I really had to grind for the last, like, couple months of senior year to actually graduate, but I managed to make it work.
Oh, nice.
But that hybrid learning is tough, whatever they call that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I'd rather, and I, as somebody that hated school, I would rather just go into school.
Right.
And not pay attention there. Yeah.
Right. So you kind of noodled around with the guitar when you were in high school. How did you even get that guitar? And, like, what was one of the first songs that you learned?
So this is pretty cool. So my buddy, I have to mention, so my brother played guitar, you know that, and he passed away, and that was a huge influence on me. He passed away in 2022. Oh. I had to do the math real quick to make sure. Like I said, time, you know, math doesn't math sometimes. It's been 3 years. But to be honest, the true moment that I was like, I want to play guitar, I was at my buddy's dorm in Western New England University, Springfield. And he had this other buddy named Sam Chipman. I love you, buddy. He'd be in his dorm room, man. He was so cool. He had long hair. He'd be playing the guitar. He'd have, like, girls in his room listening to him play guitar. And I'm like, this dude's, I want to do that. I was like, I think I have a guitar. You know, flash forward a couple months, you know, whatever. I eventually picked up this guitar that was in, you know, everybody's got, like, a dusty guitar. I don't even know. I picked it up, but it was just these typical things. The action was horrible. I didn't know what these things were at the time, but now looking back, you know, the action was horrible. It was all cracked. There was holes. Like, it wasn't a functional instrument. And I actually told I think somehow my grandfather got word of this, right? So my grandfather's just that guy. he heard that I wanted to play guitar. So what did he do? He went and he got one for me in the middle of COVID. I saw him show up to my house out of the blue. And it was, I think it's called the Yamaha F325D Gig Maker, something like that. It's the basic, like $200
little kick guitar.
Yeah. I might be wrong on that whole model number, but
it's a Yamaha.
Yeah. I might have mixed it up with this guitar actually. But either way, it's that guitar. I don't play it much anymore, but I look at it a lot, and that's really, you know, how I learned up until Josh got me this guitar, and then I
put it down. So that's like extra special.
Yeah, so should I pick it up real quick?
Yeah, go for it.
So I was mentioning this to you before, Chris. So
yeah.
So this is my Fender, I don't even know, FA series, FA-135CE. There's all these fancy little... and this guitar was just a godsend. I have a picture of it. So my brother called me one day. I mentioned to him that the guitar that I was using, the one my grandfather got me, it was nice, whatever, but I really wanted a little bit better guitar that I could also plug in.
Yeah.
And that Christmas, we get together at my grandparents' house, actually now my cousin's house, and he had this guitar-shaped box.
Wonder what that could box. Be.
Yeah.
Right.
And there's a picture of just, I have the biggest smile on my face like, as it's being uncovered. And then I played this guitar every single day for years, and I played it at, I think, pretty much every gig I've ever played, other than maybe a few where I did just electric or whatever. But like I was saying to you, Chris, you can see on the fretboard here, it's all worn down. I mean, there's
it has character.
Look at that.
In here, there's a crack down here. I got a sticker of Josh, which I'm not really a put a sticker on your guitar guy, but I thought this one was fitting.
Oh, sure.
So he's always down there with me.
Yeah,
that's amazing.
And you know, to be totally honest, this guitar isn't like an amazing. You know, I mean, it's just a couple $100 guitar, but I put my energy into it and my soul into it. And
yeah,
I think it
that's your sound. Yeah.
You know, like I have my complaints, like it's a little brighter than I would, you know, whatever, but it gets the job done for me and it means so much to me. It's getting to the point where I'm going to need to retire it pretty soon or refret it, get all this work done where it's just not going to be worth it.
Yeah.
And I think I'd rather let it be safe, you know, put it up on the wall one day and use something else, but... For now, this is still the daily driver, you know?
That's awesome.
It's beautiful.
Thank you so much. Yeah, really, I mean, I think it's a tobacco sunburst, but he did a great job. He picked it out. But, I mean, if you look closely, there's just rashes all over this thing.
No, it has character.
And I love it. No, it bothered me at first until they kind of everywhere, and I'm like, this is like Willie Nelson's trigger, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
This is my trigger.
So... While you have that guitar in your lap, sir.
Oh, perfect segue.
That's right.
Would you mind playing a song for us?
I wouldn't mind one bit.
All right. What do you got? Are you doing a cover or an original?
Yeah, I'm going to be doing a cover to start.
All right.
This is a song by the Goo Goo Dolls that everybody seems to know. It was their first hit.
What's its name?
Oh, there you go.
Uh-huh.
It's like, where? Where?
Where?
Where? You get that if you're from Mass. Anyways, this one's called Name. Hope you guys like it.
Turn away. Cause all the dreams you never thought you'd lose get tossed along the way. And letters that you never meant to send get tossed and thrown away. Don't tell no one you're
don't tell them your name. Get to be a star. I bet you did. You grew up way too fast. Now there's nothing to believe. The reruns all become a history. The tired song is playing on the tired radio. And I won't tell no. I won't tell them your name. I won't tell them your name. You guys ready? Think about you all the time, and I don't need the same. If it's lonely where you are, just come back down, and I won't tell them your name.
Ow!
Oh, that.
That was beautiful.
That was beautiful, my friend.
Yeah.
So much.
And it's done differently from how we've had it done in the studio before.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, true. Yeah.
Yeah, you kind of put your own little twist on it.
Good point.
That was awesome.
I don't know why I pulled up the lyrics for that. I didn't look at it once.
They're emotional support lyrics. I need them all the time.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that was great. Thank you. Thank you. Do you have like a favorite song that you like to play?
That's like such a tough one, I feel like, for a musician.
It's like asking somebody who their favorite child
is.
I know.
It's like, let me look at my phone. You know, and there's also different categories, because it's like, we could be talking originals.
Yeah.
Like, my favorite songs that I've written to play are, like, the one I wrote for my brother Josh called Sunset on 67.
Oh, that's a beautiful song, by the way.
Yeah.
I'll play it for you at some point. I don't know when the good time
would
be.
Yeah.
But, so that maybe that. I love my song Losing It, which... It's funny because I just thought it was like such a silly, like, you know, I kind of like wrote it off when I wrote it. I was like, I'm going to write like a silly country song, you know, but then everybody liked it. And
it's I a like
song
it.
That's on my album.
Yeah.
That will be on my album.
Nice.
Oh, yeah, I got to stop touching the table.
Yeah.
You can set your guitar down if you want.
Yeah. But it's, well, you know, and that's the thing. Like, you know, I've been learning to play some covers. And, you know, just for the sake of learning, you know, chord progressions and stuff like that. But sometimes you just, when you write your own music, it's like a whole different level. And, you know, I have one song that I started singing about the bar that I'm in. And it's so much fun. I haven't played it out there, out in the world yet, but I'm going to. But
it's awesome.
Yeah,
are you gonna play it at your favorite bar?
Play it right now.
Yeah, right. I am gonna play it at my favorite bar. It's a good toe tapper for everybody. But you're right. Like it's there's so many songs. There's so many genres. And if you're a big fan of just music, it's hard to pick just one.
Sure is.
Yeah.
I will say, when it comes to covers, I mean, this is going to be kind of like broad, but I love Tom Petty.
Oh,
I love Jason Isbell and the 400 Unit, which is like my Jason Isbell's my favorite songwriter.
He's an incredible songwriter. So
I think I might be going to see him later.
Oh yeah?
Ooh.
Yeah, that's nice. Pretty cool.
And I'm jealous.
I mean I'm going to the Wang.
I'm jealous, man.
You're coming with. I'll take you with me.
Okay.
Aw.
That's kind of fun.
That sounds like fun. I'm down.
Hell yeah.
Nikki, you got a question for David?
I do. So you have that beautiful guitar there that your brother got you, and well, you had the Yamaha too, but what was the first song that you actually learned how to play?
You know what, you asked me that.
I did.
Yeah.
I'm circling back.
Loaded, yeah. So one of the earliest, so you know, I learned like G, C, like some basic chords, and I think it was either Cigarette Daydreams.
Ooh.
or like Knocking on Heaven's Door, or like, you know, like the Dylan version, like the three chords.
Ooh, I like that.
So not your typical Smoke on the Water.
No, not at all. And actually, for a first song, I feel like Cigarette Daydreams is like kind of...
It's a little complex.
Yes, I mean, it's not, you know, it's not, yeah, Smoke on the Water, but...
No, it's a little more complex to it. It's got more depth to it.
At the time, honestly, I was still kind of into, like, my tastes have changed a lot over the years. When I started learning guitar, I was into, like, you know, pop country a little bit, you know, or it's kind of, you know, what... country was to me. I didn't know better back then. but yeah, so I remember learning like Luke Combs songs and like, you know, stuff that. Even maybe Morgan Wallen at the time. I don't know. But Zach Bryan, I have to say, I know it's kind of controversial now, but he's definitely a big reason I picked up a guitar as well. So,
oh, that's cool.
We all know how much I love and adore that man.
Yeah.
So I'm not ashamed to say it.
you call him your husband, right?
I mean, she basically does. Zach, if you're listening,
I'll see you in San Antonio in 3 weeks.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
I might even invite a friend along. I don't know.
Oh man.
Hey David, want to go see Zach Bryan with me in San Antonio?
I'm down. I love Zach Bryan.
Sweet, let's do it.
I like it. Keeps like somehow slipping my mind that we're also seeing Zach Bryan because I'm just psyched to be going to like Texas. You know.
That's right, folks. I'm putting him in my suitcase and bringing him to Austin with me.
I've never been on a plane.
Oh, nice.
I'll bring snacks and an iPad.
And I'm an ADHD.
Oh, man.
Somebody give this kid the window seat.
Yeah, right. they're not like the flights aren't like they used to be. I think now you have to like pay extra for peanuts. But back in my day, like they would wheel out like a whole like tray of food for you. And like if your flight was more than 4 hours, you'd get a meal.
Yeah, and, no, now you get like two bags of peanuts.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it's not the same. You know what would be really cool though, if they had a airline that allowed musicians to play on the plane.
Soul plane?
I mean,
oh,
next level.
Yeah. Right?
I don't get that reference.
You're the movie guy, man.
Yeah.
I know, usually.
Yeah. Oh, all right. Well, put that on the iPad for the plane ride then. All
right. That's right.
It's a two movie flight.
Oh, it'll
yeah.
Done in no time.
So, all right. Do you have a dream venue? If you could play anywhere in the world, where would you like to play?
So, like, when it comes to, I mean, like, I would love to sell out, like, the Palladium or something because, you know, hometown.
Yeah.
You know,
start
like,
local, yeah.
Of course. But bigger than that, because, you know, I do have big dreams and, you know, there's things that I want to do. Ryman. Yeah. Grand Ole Opry. I almost feel, like, conceited for saying that, but, like, those are, like, a dream venue.
Oh, yeah.
But once again, I'd be happy to just go play Off the Rails or something and Worcester would be sick. Red Rocks.
Crowd favorite, yeah.
People like that one.
Yeah.
I just want to go play different places, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, those are a couple I could think of off the top of my head.
No, they're good
ones.
Ryman
seems beautiful. I mean, I actually went to Nashville and I never checked it out, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, there's so many just iconic venues out there, and there's some that are lesser known than others. You know, here I go.
Here we go. I already know where this is going.
Yeah, they just announced not too long ago that.
Go ahead. What's they? Who is they?
Metallica.
It's always a reference in every episode.
I guess Steven. But they're doing it this Sphere. Oh, over there, it's a 2-day festival, so
Chris, I don't think you can fit in my suitcase. I'm sorry, man.
Can we sneak in a Megadeth reference too?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Watch me become a god.
Yeah. Insane.
Dave Mustaine, man.
Yeah.
Something else.
He really is. Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. It's There's just a lot of cool places, but you know, but here, you know, we're lucky. We have a lot of places. Not only do we have a lot of like small venues, but we have like a lot of events too.
So one thing that I did notice when I was traveling, like even when I was out visiting my friend in New York, I'm like, what can we do? And I'm so used to being able to pull up my phone and look, like, we are so blessed for how many venues that we have within less than a 2-hour drive. At any given point in time, I can look up what's playing at the MGM, what's playing up in Guilford at the B&H Pavilion, what's playing at the Xfinity Center in Hartford or Mansfield, or, you know, like, there's so many venues. I can be like, well, who's playing there? And then from there, I can pick, well, what do I want to go do today?
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
not like that in a lot of places, and we take that for granted.
Yeah.
That's why we go to Boston all the time to see a good show, you know.
Boston, Hartford, outskirts of Boston, you know, up Lake Winnipesaukee, the B&H Pavilion. But me, I was out in New York City and I was like, you know, there really isn't a lot of actual big venues like that we have around here, and it's taken for granted.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, you know, right. We have a lot of, you know, what we do have though, is we have a lot of open mics. We have a lot of opportunities for musicians to put themselves out there and perform, and, you know, and then also, this area is extra lucky because, unlike other areas, this area has a musical podcast.
Yeah, just promoting the hell out of, you know, all the open mics and the people that go to them. And I mean, it's cool too, this like Central Mass area. Literally, there's an open mic every day of the week
at some
place pretty local.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You could definitely drive that circuit.
For sure.
You know, and just say hit every place. Have you hit any of the local open mics out there?
So I used to do open mics a lot early on, and I've been really meaning to get back out there. I don't know why I keep like adjusting myself every time.
Because your chair keeps rolling away.
Yeah, oh, yeah. No, I do have, just so you viewers and listeners know, I am on roller skate little wheels right now. So
yeah, be careful.
I keep rolling back a little bit. Yeah,
you might be able to lower your chair down a little bit, ground yourself a little more.
But sorry, what was the question?
Have you played any open mics?
Yeah, so I played open mics a lot early on, and I really should be doing them regardless, but I've been so busy with my own schedule and stuff.
Yeah.
And I do have some time coming up, you know. I got a couple weeks here that I don't have much going on, so maybe I'll hit one.
You should.
There's one that they do at Oak Home Brewery, right in Brookfield or Sturbridge.
Okay.
I did that one a few times, and they did like a little one at what's now Connect. It used to be Stats in North Brookfield, and just, you know.
Oh yeah.
All these little places I used to do some open mics at, and that is like a lot of people say a place where I was able to cut my teeth a little bit. A setting.
Oh yeah.
I was able to cut my teeth, and I can't listen to anything from the open mics now because it's god awful, you know. But.
Got to start somewhere.
Yeah.
Shaylee O'Doo actually hosts one right in Barrie at the Cafe in the Common.
Yeah, oh yeah.
I've done that one too.
Yeah.
Yeah, because that's, you know, 10, 12 minutes, 15 minutes from my house.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. I actually going to do, you know, dip my toes into that open mic, I think, at some point, go down there and drag the piano and play some songs.
You should do it, man. I fully support it. I come watch you clap.
Oh, thanks, buddy.
Absolutely, dude.
Yeah.
Get out there. Get to an open mic, bro.
Yeah.
I believe in you. I see your videos.
Oh.
You can sing, man. You can play.
Yeah, it's fun. I get a lot of inspiration just from all of our musical guests. And
for real.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, like, I think Nate and Nikki, like when we started this, neither one of us were really playing an instrument, and look at us now.
It's cool to see.
Yeah,
you're learning guitar.
Yeah, I'm learning guitar now, thanks to our buddy Jake Goldstein, Jukebox Jake. I mean, I had notebooks just filled with nonsense, you know, and I would sing in the car and never in front of people, and even that's come a long way, you know.
Yeah.
And this show and being surrounded by all these really talented people is, you know, it's really inspiring.
It
honestly
is. It really is. I got to ask, you know, to you, David, for anybody out there that hasn't really dived into music yet, but they're wanting to. They want to pick up an instrument. Do you have any advice for somebody who's just starting out?
First of all, do it.
Yeah.
Just do it. Pick it up. I mean, that, I feel like that could be like a cliche, you know, I feel like everybody's going to say, but it's true.
Yeah.
I mean, we all weren't musicians at one point.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
The only way you can be a musician is by picking up an instrument and playing it, right? So do it. Don't give up. Like people say, I mean,
yeah.
You know, and people tell me all the time to this day, don't give up. Don't give up. And it really does motivate me. You know, if you're ever having a bad day, we all, I mean, whether we want to admit it or not, we probably all think about quitting every once in a while. You know what I mean? It's easy to do. But don't. And just run that down. If it's something you love, and you'll know it, you know, if you don't feel like you have to do it, then it's probably not your thing, you know, right. At least in my mind. But I'm also very intense with, like, I picked up a guitar and I'm like, this is my life.
You are all in.
But yeah, that, and this is like a little kind of instrument specific, you know, maintenance advice, that I want to mention. And this is something I'm actually probably quoting directly from Jason Isbell. I saw him on a Guitar Moves podcast where they talk about guitars and everything. And he taught guitar for a while. I think I mentioned this to you guys before we start. Okay. And he says, get your guitar set up. If you're going to play guitar, get a guitar and pay the extra $50 or $100 to get it set up, because it will play so much better. You're going to be sitting there like, why is this so hard? It doesn't have to be that hard. And people think it does. And I mean, was one of those people that learned the hard way.
The first time I picked up a ukulele, and I didn't realize that, like, it's until you play for a while and get the strings worn in, it's going to constantly go out of tune. And it's so discouraging when you're like, this sounds like shit.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you got to actually keep up with it. Yeah.
That's more stuff you learn.
Right.
You know, like with the guitar strings, you know, I after a while I was like, there's got to be a better way to do this than just freaking throwing them on there and playing them out of tune for days until it stays in tune.
Right.
Then I learned you can, you know, work your strings, stretch them as you're putting them on, and retune, play the hell out of it, stretch. There's a whole thing that I kind of do now when I restring my guitars, and by the time I'm done with it, it's staying in tune just fine. And these are things, little things that you learn, you know what I mean?
That's wild. I don't know how many people know that.
I can do a little demo.
I didn't know that.
So basically, right, say I'm putting on strings on this guitar.
Right.
I'll set it down on the table. So I'll take the string. Here, I'll bring this over here. I'll take the string and I'll just do that. Give it like a massage almost. I don't know if you guys see that or if I should put it. Yeah. Give it a massage, you know, kind of every couple frets, just do that. You know what I'm saying? And it's probably going to be out of tune now. I'm going to have to retune this string.
Yeah.
But you do that with all your strings, every few frets, stretch it, play it. And that is getting that string tension, you know, it's getting all the working out all the kinks. I don't know exactly how it works, but
it's almost
that's a pro tip.
It's almost like
I'm
us.
Not a pro.
It's almost like us, like
exactly
stretch before you work out and all that stuff. Like it's kind of no different. Warm up, stretch.
You feel more loose after a massage, you know?
Yeah.
I just go full send. I go from like sleeping to full send. And
I believe it.
Yeah.
I totally believe it.
I got bruises.
We all got bruises.
That's right. That's right. And speaking of bruises, because you
God, where are we going with this?
We're going in circles.
Yeah. But in all seriousness, I know you just put down the guitar, but
I'll pick it right back up. I don't mind.
Yeah. Mind giving us another song?
So this song is called Sunset on 67. It's the title track to my album. It's for my brother, Josh. We lost 3 years ago to, an overdose. The addiction thing's huge in my family. You know, I'm sober. My brother's sober. My mom works in recovery. I lost a stepbrother to addiction. I lost stepmother to addiction. And I guess in a way this song's kind of for all of them, you know, but I wrote it for Josh, you know. Here we go. And old worn out
make it there in time. Boy, the view is mighty fine. The best spot in town to watch that sun go down. Staring at sunset up on Route 67. I swear that I see Josh right there, smiling down from heaven. Staring at the sunset up on Route 67. Drake White turned all the way up to 11. Say I'm sorry for everything I did. I'd say I love you, and he'd say I love you, kid. I swear that I see Josh right there, he's smiling down from heaven. Staring at the sunset up on Route 67. Drake White turned all the way up to 11. Staring at the sunset up on Route 67. Tonight there won't be any more tears up in heaven. Staring at the sunset up on Route 67. Staring at the sunset up on Route 67. Staring at the sunset up on Route 67.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah.
That was a beautiful tribute.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
I think I might have messed up a teeny bit, but it's okay.
Hey, it's your song.
Yeah, nobody needs to know.
Oh, yeah, I meant to do that.
Yeah, it's your song. You can play however you want.
Hey, if you guys didn't understand.
what a beautiful, emotional-filled song. The lyrics, man. are just fantastic. Like I said, a beautiful tribute to your brother. That must have been challenging though to write those lyrics and come up with that song, huh?
It was very difficult, and I remember it pretty vividly. I was losing my mind with the whole thing, and I was like running, like just trying to do weird shit to, you know, get my mind off things. And I ran, you know, typically I would sit in my car and there's the best sunsets at the top of my street. Like in the world. Like, I mean, I know that sounds, you know, biased, but so, you know, I would always sit in my car there and, you know, cry, whatever, like I said in the song. But, this one particular day, actually, I ran up to the top of my road, I'm pretty sure if I remember correctly, and I legit was like watching the sunset and just kind of breaking down a little bit, like, I don't know what I'm going to do with my life, you know what I mean? And then I think I either did it right then and there or ran home and pulled out my notepad and my phone. It was like 15 minutes, like 10 minutes. It was like, it was like, poured it out. I was crying by the end of it. You know, it's like, that's how I knew it was special. And what's funny is, like I said, you know, this and all the songs on my album, I wrote them so long ago. You know what I mean? And most of them, I hate them now, but this one, I still think it's a good song. You know?
Yeah.
And you know, it's kind of personal. Like, you know, it's obviously personal, but like there's some lyrics in there. Like, you know, like I'm openly talking about death. I'm not sugarcoating it. You know what
sure,
I mean?
And, right. And
even now when I sing it, sometimes I'm like, I probably could have, you know, made that a little softer on the ear, like,
oh, no.
Like,
no,
when my brother died, you know, like, but that's, it was literally how I was feeling. And,
no, but just even you talking about death, like, let's be real. Those are legitimate questions. I think everybody asks themselves at one point in time, like the unknown, you know,
it freaks
so
me out.
It's a very relatable song. If you think about it, like, yeah, not all of us, you know, had a brother named Josh that passed away, but you know, I feel like there's so much takeaway from that song in general that people can take away from.
I think so too. And I'm so glad. This is probably like my, you know, kind of like the debut of the song for like a lot of people, you know what mm-hmm. I mean? Because I just, I play it live everywhere and stuff, but you know, it's not out, you know, we can get into my album at a different point or whatever. It's just been a big project, but I am working very hard on getting music out like almost every single day. So with a full-time job and the gigs and a dog and two dogs now.
Yeah.
So it's crazy. So I gotta ask, you know, what is that like, balancing your music with your day-to-day life? Like, how do you carve out time for your music?
It's difficult sometimes. I'm not going to lie to you. I mean, even for example, prepping for this, right? So you guys sent me the email so long ago, right? And I'm a procrastinator anyways, right? So I looked at it like, yeah, I should probably get to it. You know, flash forward, it's in a couple days.
Yeah.
I'm like, I should probably do something. You know, it gets hard. Like, you know, kind of what you're getting at, I think. It's like, you know, I'm at work 8:30 to 5 every single day, you know? And I also work out. There's these things, priorities, you know, and I have dogs and whatever.
Yeah.
So I've really had to form my schedule around, these days I have to make time for it, and it's important, and I do.
Yeah.
When I was learning and obsessing and everything, you know, I just had all the time in the world, and I'm very thankful for that because I got to put in maybe my 10,000 hours or whatever you want to call it. It is difficult, and I think you have to be proactive about carving out that time to just practice. And you know, I'm not that strict about practice. Like, to me, practice, I just pick up my guitar and play something. You know, everybody's different. You know, has scales, and these lead guitar players are so incredible. I suck at guitar, but so it's like I said, you gotta work at it. So I, like, for example, I started going to the gym before work for that reason, so I could get out of work and play my guitar a little bit and whatnot. And you know, that's a commitment on its own. You know, waking up wicked early, it sucks, but you get used to it. You know, I like it now, but yeah. So that's kind of my schedule. I try to practice after work, at least run some songs and, you know, think about my next gig and, you know, whatever else. And I have vocal lessons too every week, which I really try to make sure I do. And that's helped me tenfold. You know, I recommend anybody who, you know, sings and thinks maybe they could do better or, you know, whatever, you want more confidence, get a vocal coach. It's amazing.
It's
a huge, just confidence booster for me even, you know, so.
No, that's great advice. So, that's great advice.
Hopefully that answered your question. I feel like sometimes I just, like, stray off a lot.
No. It's so, like I said, it's so hard. Like a lot of us, you know, we have passions, we have pursuits, but at the end of the day, we need to support ourselves, and mm-hmm. you know, we need to work that 9 to 5 or whatever it is, and then I also applaud you, man. Like you're doing some awesome things outside of that music. You're keeping yourself healthy. You're going to the gym.
That's important. That's
yeah, it
also
really is.
Like the advice, not to interrupt.
Sorry, yeah, no, you're good.
Quickly say, like, your body's a temple. You know what I mean? And I'm not saying I treat it the best, but like, you will see the difference in your singing. I like to think that I sing better now that I'm healthy.
Oh, yeah. 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 And it's a lot of work. It's a lot of work to be a human.
It really is, just to get by.
Yeah.
And then there's all this extra stuff, right? It's like music and jobs and like, trying to stay afloat.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a process. But you know, I love the fact that you have that commitment though, to your music. And I love the fact that you're writing your own music as well. And you're putting that out there as well. You know, some of those songs are personal, but like, to play them out there and then to get people's reactions and, you know, go, oh, hey, that song, like, I really felt that, you know, it must make the whole process worth it, huh?
Absolutely. And I can't remember. We've had a lot of conversations. Yeah. I'm sorry to remember what was on air and what wasn't, but,
Yeah.
You know, I mentioned to you, like, just seeing people burst out crying when I play that song in particular. And I just, it makes me feel weird, obviously. Like, it's great. Like, you know, it's a weird thing to say, but like, you know, like it means so much that my music affects people in that way. You know what I mean? That it also moves them. But I also sit there and feel bad because I'm like, I didn't want you to cry. Like, you know, I want to have a good show, you know, but a good cry is a good thing sometimes. You know what I mean?
It's cathartic.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And that's what I'm here for. And, you know.
Music is therapy.
It's weird because, you know, like. You, as a man, right? Like, I think writing songs is, you know, people call it an outlet, but it really is, because all this shit that I write about, I wouldn't go tell somebody. Like, I you know what I mean? Yeah. It's like a little, it's a journal, you know, mm-hmm. for me. And that's kind of the difference with some of these songwriters, like you said, like Jason Isbell and whatever it's very reflection based, you know, mm-hmm. you're really like looking at what's life, like, you know?
Yeah.
Right. And you know, it's funny too, because, well, funny, not funny, I guess.
Funny. It's like, sorry, not sorry.
Yeah. It's like you were kind of saying, like, I would never just openly tell people this stuff going on in my head, but once you turn it into a song, now it's okay.
Now
it's art, and nobody questions art, and that's it's totally fine now that you're singing it.
I would never you know, go up to a lady and say, like, won't you come hold me, dear, I think I'm losing it.
Right. But if you sang it to her, she'd be like, oh, that's beautiful.
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, and you're right, like especially I feel as us men, we don't always have the opportunity to really express ourselves or tell people a bit about our journey. You know, we feel like we have to keep it to ourselves, but then music allows an outlet for us men to write our stories and share them with the people. And the beautiful part is when you then connect with a part of the audience and they like, hey man, I've been through it too, you know? Mm-hmm. And it kind of verifies that you're not alone,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Oh, absolutely. I touch on some deep stuff, you know what I mean? I mean, not everybody, you know, does that. You know, there's some people that make music just to make people dance or whatever, but I, you know, really, like, it's heavy hitting shit, you know, and there's no denying that.
There's depth to it.
You know, some people, for lack of better words or whatever, will just call it sad, you know, like a lot, you know, like Jason Isbell, a lot of people say you just write sad songs or whatever, which is so far from the truth, but, but yeah, you know, it is, you have a great point. I mean, you know, the stigma is starting to go away, which is great. You know, mm-hmm. mental health is starting to be a very open.
It's not taboo
anymore.
We can
talk about.
Yeah.
But for the longest time, and I think a lot of us still have this in their heads, including me, is it's like men can't say that. Men can't be emotional, be vulnerable, cry.
Right.
You know, I mean, and I'm a sensitive dude, so it's hard to. I got to hold that all deep inside, you know, and that's not good. But that's where the songwriting comes in.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And once again, I feel like I'm preaching to the choir here. But when I write a song, I feel physically like relieved, like a weight just lifted off my shoulders. I'm like, holy shit, I can breathe. I can live again. You know, I can carry on my life.
I got released into the world. I'm not holding it. Yeah.
I got to ask, you know, now that we're talking about, you know, writing music, you're working on an album.
Yes, sir. I am. Yeah. Want me to tell you a little bit about
it? Yeah.
So Sunset on 67, it's called. I mentioned that. And it's a very, you know, personal album. I've been experimenting with all different kinds of songwriting over the years. You know, now I really like to write, you know, I'd always try to find some kind of story and write through like a character or something cool. Like, once again, like my idol, Jason Isbell, like he's, you know, I don't think he actually was trying to pee off a ladder and then fell, you know, whatever. But that's what's awesome about songwriting is it's storytelling. So, I got off track. What were you asking?
Yeah. You buy your album.
So this album in particular is, like I said, very, I mean, these were like the first songs that I were like, this isn't bad. Maybe I should put this out. Right. So I've been writing, you know, I've probably written hundreds at that point, but this is like 12 songs, which they'll probably be a couple that get cut or whatever that I don't like, but it started with like 12 songs and, yeah, they're all just deeply personal and about my personal experience with addiction and loss. And I've had some rough relationships, you know, romantic relationships. It's a whole other thing to get into. That'll be a whole other podcast.
Yeah. Been there.
Yeah. No, I think we all have, which once again, you know, it's music. It's this therapy, but,
Yeah.
So the album, I've been working with this great producer, engineer, David Hamp, Slate Hill Recording Studios, which he's open for business actually. And I think I should mention this because I'm sure he's always looking for more work. He's out of West Brookfield. It's one of those cool, you know, barns converted into a high end studio.
That is Chris's dream.
It really is.
Oh, it's awesome. Yeah. It's like, it's not the famous one everybody talks about, Longview, which is right at the town over or whatever. But no, he's got all the, you know, high end equipment. I mean, it's crazy. When he fires up all the stuff, you know, I feel like I'm working in a lab, you know, but he's really got a great ear for it. And he worked on some pretty, pretty awesome records. I'm not going to, you know, start name dropping, but some real albums. And, he's just a great guy. And, we got the album sounding great. And you know, we're really trying to wrap it up, and I have a game plan for how we're going to wrap it up. You know, so it's good to have my kind of eyes on the prize, and I see the end, you know. For the longest time, it was one of those things like, I'm never going to fucking finish this thing. And I still kind of feel that way. But 98% of the pieces are there. It's just, you know, that final kind of putting it together, mixing, mastering, adding that weird little stuff. But it'll be out there this year. Absolutely.
That's awesome.
No doubt. Hopefully in the next few months, it would be great. You know, I'm still trying to figure out covers and all that. It's exciting. Even though I hate all the songs now, you know what I mean? It's one of those things you hear your voice over and over. I mean, God, I've heard those songs so many damn times, but you know, I'm ready to move on to other things, right? I want to put this record out and do a second record. I mean, I got the songs already ready to go, or getting ready to go. So I'm always putting songs together.
And it's awesome. I'm like, that's your story that you're putting out there. And, you know, and how funny is that? Is that like you've put all this work into it, you're nearing the finish line, and you're already, you know, like, all right, what am I doing for the second album?
Can't help it. I think that's the brain of a creative, you know?
Yep.
And it's one of those things too, because over the years of making this album, I've written the second album like 3 times, you know what I mean? Like a whole batch of songs that I'm like, yeah, this is good. A few months later, toss them out. No, they suck. New batch of songs. Maybe this will be my second album. Toss it out. New batch of songs. You know what I mean? But I really think I'm onto something right now. You know, when you have that feeling. I mean, I've been writing some stuff lately that I'm getting really excited about, and I don't always get excited about my writing. I'm usually like, that sucked. You know, so, So look forward to David Keith music coming your way.
Nice.
Do you think we can have another song coming our way?
No.
Ooh, speaking of David Keith music.
No, you don't get a song.
Okay.
So this is one I wrote called Losing It. I think I mentioned this earlier a little bit, but this was kind of just like, so to be honest, I think what I wanted to do was write almost like a turnpike kind of song a little bit. I don't know if that worked, but I was like, I want to write a song in the key of G, like a very just country harmonica, you know, whatever. And it just kind of came out, and it was almost a joke, you know, but it's lived on. This one's called Losing It.
Losing it. least till you came around. And I'm so confused, I got nothing to lose. I'm not sure of the future in my view. In the dark you're my light, don't wanna tell you goodnight. Even if this all ain't right, won't you come hold me, dear? I think I'm losing it. All this love, it hit me like a ton of bricks. Something so fierce, oh, I just can't handle it. Won't you come hold me, dear? I think I'm losing it.
Too, man.
Yeah, you I don't know if you can kind of hear what I was saying about like how I feel about the song, you know what I mean?
Right.
Almost like you know, like, oh, this is kind of it's fun, you know, whatever, but yeah, people love it, you know. So sometimes, you know, it's just those are the ones, simple, catchy,
yeah,
fun. It's a love song, you know, I don't do that much.
Right. I love the incorporation of the harmonica. I don't know if people understand how hard it is to harmonize you know, your harmonica with the guitar. I was trying to do it with the piano, like, you know, Billy Joel style, and I just couldn't.
It can be tough, like, for the reasons of, like, I always tell people, like, in my eyes, the way I play harmonica, it's not very hard. I just kind of blow into the thing.
Yeah.
I honestly don't practice it much, to be totally honest. But, no, the thing is, right, if your guitar or piano, if it's a real, you know, piano, whatever, with the keys you got to tune, if you're just the slightest hair out of tune, whatever, it'll sound weird.
Yeah.
Because the harmonica's in a certain key, which I didn't even realize that when I started playing it, that there's different key harmonicas.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Yeah, I got the case down at my feet here, but okay. So like this harmonica is G, and so on and so forth. And that could have been also maybe why you were like, what? This doesn't sound right.
Yeah.
You
know,
maybe, it was, maybe you were playing a song in C with the A harmonica or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, all it, little things you learn.
Yeah, it, well, you know, the harmonica is
like that tiny,
so it's like, so it's a really sharp note.
What I like about the harmonica is if you're in the right key, right? There's no wrong notes per se, right? Because that's all in G. So that's why it's cool, because I experiment and mess around a little bit, you know, like I don't take it too seriously. Like that harmonica part I just played was different than the one I played before and the one I'm going to play next when I play the song.
It's just all improv harmonica.
Yeah, I mean, there's a riff in there, if you will, the but other than that, I just have fun with it.
Oh, that's cool.
And yeah, you know, there's notes that sound better than others, but if you're in the right key,
yeah,
go off. Send it, as you would say, you know.
Nice.
Full send.
Full send, yeah.
Nikki, you got a question?
Should I put the guitar down for a sec?
Sure. Do your thing.
You're good. You can ask away.
Okay. So you've been playing music out and about for a little while now. Is there any experience that has, like, something crazy or whatever, like, that sticks out that you've encountered?
So I was trying to think about this, because this is, for whatever reason, a bit of a tough one, because I feel like weird, crazy shit happens all the time, and it's like, what?
Yeah.
What is really, like, what even does that mean anymore? You know what I mean? Like, your whole life is crazy, right? But, I think it blew my mind. Like, I don't, I'm not saying, like, so there's drunk people all the time, right? That's, sure, like, a typical, you know, I've had lots of drunk guys get on the mic and almost my guitar and, you know, whatever. but a particular experience, right? So we were playing at a dirt bike track, which is very fitting for DK Co. We've done that a lot, believe it or not. A lot of dirt bike track shows. And this was at, I think it was MX23. And we were playing there and we did some Zach Bryan. I think it was Revival, whatever. We started, it was me and my band and we were just having fun. And they're like, do Zach Bryan. We kept doing Zach Bryan. And these kids just loved us. And I wish I was thinking of their name now, but you know who you are. They were like, you're the fucking best. You guys are the next big band, you know, just fully. And they still text me to this day, like, hey man, you should try to play at this place. Hey man, I still wear the pants that you signed. So that's what I was getting at.
You signed a pair of pants.
I signed a pair of this kid's jeans. Yeah. I think I signed like the under brim of somebody's hat. I think this kid gave me money, which I felt wrong for it. I think he like literally gave me money for my sweat rag with my signature on it.
Wow.
He like wouldn't take no for an ad. Like, dude, you can have it. So I signed a sweat rag and gave it to him. Like, people want my sweaty rag. That is that, you know, that's kind of cool, right?
That's going to be on eBay when you become famous.
Yeah. Right. That's like, I was watching I love the Counting Crows documentary on HBO. Mm. It's called Have You Seen Me Lately, I think. And, the dude from Coldplay, once again, blanking the songwriter.
Chris Martin.
Yeah, he said, he's like, I bought one of his dreadlocks, one of them, on eBay.
Oh, that's hilarious.
One of Adam Duritt's dreadlocks.
Yeah,
he's also a hero. Am I randomly going to throw that out there? Counting Crows gets a lot of shit because, like, you know, they say his voice is whiny or whatever. But Counting Crows is amazing. Yeah. I love them. I've been really on a '90s kick lately for whatever reason.
I don't get the haters on the Counting Crows. Like, the Counting Crows are awesome.
Oh, amazing!
Yeah,
the live and the records, and I mean, you know, their first album was huge, and then it was like went to work at a bar. There's all this weird in between, and then the second album kind of flopped, at least comparatively. And
yeah,
I love all their stuff. So I don't get it. But they had a really tough road. I mean,
yeah, they did.
Adam, the songwriter and singer, whatever he's got a lot of mental health issues, and he was able to overcome it. And it's once again, just inspiring. You know, there's so much inspiration out there. You got to look at that, not the world falling apart.
Yeah.
So I got a question then. Will you sign my poll over here?
Yes, I will.
Okay. Thank you.
Just so everybody is aware, it is a actual poll in the room.
It's not a stripper poll. Like,
it's too big to be a stripper poll, I think.
Like, here's the poll.
That's we call that.
You guys can see the
we call that the people's poll.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yep. People's poll.
That's 2 years of signatures.
My name's going to be on that.
I
don't know if I've earned it, but I'd love a picture up there too. We'll see what happens.
Oh yeah,
maybe I'll think about it.
Pick pictures over there. Yeah,
yeah. So that's the people's poll, and there's 2 years of signatures on that. And the day we get a new studio somewhere, we're gonna have to like take a Sawzall or something to it, and the whole building will probably collapse. But it's worth it. But I'm taking the damn poll with me.
It's
you have to.
There's a lot of we put in that work.
Yeah.
It's going to be a pain. It must be a pain moving studios in particular. Like, just
so many
I don't know. We haven't done that yet.
Well, don't worry about it yet.
Yeah, no.
But, you know, when that does happen.
Maybe we can make some money. We can do that.
Yeah, when we become rich, that's when we're going to move into the barn studio.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So anyways, well, you know, we are nearing the end here.
Already? It goes by so fast, huh?
Really
I was like, you know, all nervous and stuff and like, oh, what's going to happen? And it's just like, it went by like that.
Chris and I are two halves of a whole idiot. There ain't nothing to be nervous about in the studio.
So we probably two halves of a whole. Okay. So we probably make about an idiot and a half with all three of us.
Sure.
I mean,
the more the merrier. Why not?
We just need another half.
Yeah. I mean, I'm pretty special.
Yeah.
Hey, if you weren't, we'd just all be boring. If
I know,
we just
right?
weren't special, you know?
Right. I'll be boring.
I'm a total weirdo. You know, if you know me, you know that.
Yeah. Weirdos of a feather flock together, right? Yeah. I mean, if we were normal, we'd be settings on a washing machine.
That's why we're musicians, honestly. Yeah. I feel like also it's because we're friggin' weirdos.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm
troubled.
I'm a weirdo. I'm a creep. Yeah.
I was just going to...
What the hell are you doing here?
Audible! No, I was just going to say, it's funny. My band just recently started playing that one.
Yo, really?
We played it at this last Stone Cow show. A little
nice.
Stripped back acoustic set. Lauren was on the cajon.
If you need some piano, I can play it.
That would be cool.
Yeah.
Audible! That's an easy... Like, not... Radiohead's difficult to sing because he's got a very distinct voice. But chordally, like, instrumentally, it's a pretty easy song.
Yeah, there's... There's one that's really gorgeous. I mean, everything in its right place. Just because of the, you know, it starts off with like a C major or whatever. And then it rolls up the black keys.
I love that.
Yeah. And, you know, I've been working a little bit. I gotta give it more practice, but sing Blackbird to that progression. But
it's interesting too. You mentioned Blackbird because it's like, I feel like it's another full circle thing, but we're going to see Jason Isbell after. And there's this one song he has called Different Days, which is basically like reverse Blackbird quarterly.
Oh, no way.
I could show you real quick. I don't know if I, I won't sing it or anything, but I'll just show you what I mean. So I don't even know how to play Blackbird, but every time I play this song, my buddies are like, that's Blackbird. So it's like, I totally butchered that, but yeah, you see what I'm saying. You guys can cut
it
that.
I
was picking up what you were putting down.
Technically, he's putting down the guitar right now.
He picked it up and put it down. I'm going to ask you to pick that up one more time, sir.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
I'm excited.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I haven't even done a Turnpike song yet since I've been here, but yeah. So
will you play me?
My hat.
Will you play me a Turnpike song?
I can do that.
Yay!
Ooh.
So, I think this could have been inspired by the best show of my life that I saw not too long ago, but
that was a pretty great show.
It was incredible. Nikki and I have been hanging out a lot lately.
Yeah.
So this will always be one of my favorite Turnpike songs. It's one of those things, like, I saw a meme the other day. It's like me wanting to listen to new music, but then it's like me holding on to the 7 Turnpike. I think I reposted it. But they're just so good. So anyways, without further ado, this is a song called...
What is it?
Whole Damn Town.
Oh, okay.
Till dawn. now all the cowboys in this bar. Oh, and all those fools play guitar. Well, they're well aware that we are through. The whole damn town's in love with you. Whole damn town's in love with you. Well, the music pours out on the street, just as clean and cool as a cotton sheet.
Well, you know, after they hear that, the whole town is going to be.
Well, thanks, Chris.
Yeah.
That was nice.
Yeah.
Nailed it.
Nailed it. Thank you, David,
that
for coming.
Was a blast, man.
Yeah. This has been so much fun. I'm just so glad that you agreed to come down and share a little bit of your world with us and, you know, share some of your musical journeys. And we're just so excited for you, brother. And excited,
so much.
Yeah, especially for your album coming out. So I can't wait to hear that.
Yeah, I hope you guys, you know, stay tuned because, like I said, you know, it's been a labor of love, and I mean, I've really been just working so hard on it over the years, you know.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, I appreciate it so much, and everybody that listens to my music. I guess this is kind of my closing statement now because I just started talking. So
yeah,
thank you so much, everybody, and just thank you for having me. And that was a great time. And I got to say, best podcast I've ever been on.
Oh, well, thank you.
You don't need to know how many I've been on.
Yeah, like, yes, yep, we're the best.
You guys are the best.
Oh, no, you're the best.
Oh, yeah. Man. You see, there's so much love in here. That's what I was saying before.
Yeah.
Man, this is an awesome podcast. You guys are the best. And supporting local musicians is so important, and just supporting music in general. And I'm sure everybody says this when they get on here because it's important, and that's how we all feel. But yeah, go out there and see some local musicians and support them.
Mm-hmm. Buy the merch.
Buy the coasters.
Give them the streams. Yeah. All the things.
Listen to Turnpike Troubadours because they're awesome. Listen to Jason Isbell. Listen to Marcus King.
Yes.
Awesome.
Well, there you go, on and on and
that's
on.
That's the real PSA right there, right?
Yeah. Well, again, this has been such a great time. You know, we really appreciate you taking your time out to come out to hang with us and again, share your story. And we're just really honored to be able to, you know, put a spotlight on the local music scene here out in Massachusetts and beyond. You know, it's just something that we feel really honored to be able to do. And, you know, so again, guys, make sure you are following us all on our platforms. You know, obviously, we have this audio podcast that's out there. It's in over 340 cities, 53 countries, and growing. And then also, you know, we're on YouTube. We're expanding everywhere. In fact, Nikki, why don't you go ahead and tell them where they can find us?
Yeah, we're on all the things. We're on Facebook. We're on Instagram, TikTok, YouTube. We are wherever you stream your audio versions. You know, Apple, Spotify, Pandora, all the things. So make sure that you are giving us a like and a follow. And, you know, if you like what you hear, share, because not only does it help us, but it helps all the musicians that come on here as well.
Yep. Absolutely. Absolutely. And guys, again, let's just give a shout out to David here. And yeah.
Thank you, guys. Man, what a blast. I hope I did all right, you know.
Oh, you did awesome.
Thank you so
much.
Yeah,
yeah. And we'll do a little bit of a circle back. So before we let you go, I just want to make sure, where can they find you?
So David Keith Music on Instagram, David Keith on Facebook. Basically, if you type in David Keith on something, that's where you'll find me.
Nice.
I don't think I said TikTok before, but same thing, David Keith Music, you know, TikTok. And you can follow the band pages, you know, if you're interested in that in particular. Otherwise, you know, if you guys have any questions or anything, just, like, reach out. You know, I'm nice, so
aww.
If you want to find out about my booking or what I got coming up, just, you know,
yeah,
hit me in the DM.
All right, and we'll make sure to share some of your links there on our when we go ahead and post this.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
Yeah.
Keep an eye open for the record, guys. Sunset on 67.
Nice. Well, guys, that's it for us. Let's
thank you, guys.
Peace.
Bye, guys.
Let's go to a concert.
The Musical Chairs of Massachusetts has been handcrafted for your listening pleasure. Hosted by Chris Guerra. Co-hosted and produced by Nikki Cross. Audio engineering and talent booking by Nikki. Audio, video engineering and graphic designs by Chris. Theme song written and recorded by Route 2 Revolution. This has been a CG Broadcasting production.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
You're listening to a podcast right now. Driving, working out, walking the dog. If you're into podcasts, chances are you have something to say too. With RSS.com, starting your own is free and easy. Upload an episode, and we distribute it to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and hundreds more. Track your listeners, see where they're from, and start earning from ads like this, even with just 10 listeners a month. If you've been thinking about starting a podcast, this is your sign. Start free at RSS.com.